The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about our topic today. We're going to be talking about eating your way to better sex. You can't watch TV long without seeing an ad for a drug for enhancing sexual function. Sexual dysfunction is on the crease, the increase, but it's not because we're all getting older or because we need more drugs. Sexuality is a basic part of being human, and sexual performance is closely tied to our sense of self. A fulfilling relationship between parents has a beneficial effect on the whole family. My guest this week is Dr. Robert Fried, a well-recognized expert and educator in biopsychology and behavioral neuroscience. His research has led him to conclude that we're actually eating our way to sexual dysfunction. Dr. Fried literally wrote the book on how diet can lead to sexual dysfunction later in life and how to fix that. It's called Great Food, Great Sex, The Three Food Factors for Sexual Fitness. It's not in our heads, it's not a sign of age, nor is it lack of interest. But 70 million men and women have problems in the bedroom today that may start in the kitchen. Dr. Fried will share his eating plan with us after I give you a little more introduction. Robert Fried is a PhD, a professor emeritus in biopsychology and behavioral neuroscience, a doctoral faculty at the City University of New York, an emeritus professor of biopsychology and neuroscience at Hunter College, City University, New York. He's a member of the American Physiology Society, their cardiovascular and respiration division, and the American Psychological Association. He's a fellow of the New York Academy of Sciences, and he lectures in the U.S. and abroad on cardiovascular function. He's appeared on national and international TV, including CNN and Fox News, and he's authored many books, including The Arginine Solution, the first guide to America's new cardio-enhancing supplement, and Breathe Well, Be Well, a program to relieve stress, anxiety, asthma, hypertension, migraine, and other disorders for better health. He's also author of a college textbook, Human Sexuality, Basics of Functional Biology with Behavioral and Clinical Considerations. And he's a resident of New York City. Welcome to Family First, Dr. Fried.
Thank you very much. That's a wonderful introduction. It's almost something I might have written about myself.
Oh, good. Very good. Well, I'm very excited to be speaking with you because my dad was an OBGYN, and he specialized in infertility, and he had a huge library of books on sexuality around the world, and he was a big advocate of nutrition, and he worked with a lot of couples that were getting all kinds of drug treatment, and he would just sit down with them and try to get them to relax and take some extra vitamins and you know, stop zoning out on carbs, and all of a sudden they would conceive without the drugs. So I'm loving what you're doing now. My dad's passed on, and it's delightful. Your books are wonderful, and I'm so happy to have you on Family First. And
it
is a family, it's a family show, but gosh, an intimate, loving, satisfying relationship between the parents is a great beginning for a healthy family, and it keeps it that way. So Thank you for being here. So let me ask you, you obviously were focused primarily earlier in your career on the biopsychology, and you still teach it, and the neuroscience. So what brought you to make this connection, the importance of nutrition and the importance of sexual function in that whole biopsychology sphere?
Biopsychology, it really is a focus on the connection between biology and behavior. There's a tendency, or there has been a tendency, in the American concept of sexuality, not only sexuality, but other areas as well, to sort of treat these entities separately. The mind is, when it's dysfunctional, is treated by psychology or psychiatry until the advent of medications made it clear that this doesn't make any sense. And by the same token, very often we look at problems that the body seems to be having that manifests itself in behavior without any regard to what the mental impact of this is. So biopsychology really is an attempt to meld these two entities into a useful functionality, and my particular interest is making this available to the public. My interest in research has been over the years to try to interpret what science has done and make it useful for, you know, the consumer public out there. So my interest in sexuality wasn't any different from anybody else's interest in sexuality, parenthetically. But from the scientific point of view, it became interesting to me from the point of view of its emerging link to cardiovascular function. In the old days, it was pretty clear to everybody that if a man, for instance, was dysfunctional, it had some obscure Oedipal conflict inhibiting his sexuality. If a woman complained of dysfunction, there was some other obscure kind of instinctive thing that prevented her from expressing herself sexually. And it became increasingly clear, especially in the late 1980s, early 1990s, that most of the dysfunctions that people are facing are really labeled psychological because we weren't aware of the fact that they were in fact physical. And they are, in fact, for the most part, physical. Most of the dysfunctions that we find in men, for instance, today, it's estimated up to 90% are cardiovascular issues. And the specific cardiovascular issue has to do with the fact that in sexual arousal, men do not seem to be able to get their cardiovascular system to satisfy the need for increasing blood flow into the sex organs. And if your listeners will notice in one of the commercials, for instance, for one of the drugs, I believe it's Cialis, I'm not sure, it tells you this may be a blood flow problem. And indeed, this is the major advance that we have made in our understanding of sexuality, that it is indeed in large measure a restriction of blood flow to the sex organs in men and women, parenthetically, that are the result of the sexual dysfunctions that get these people to come into the office of practitioners, either in the mental health areas or in the medical areas for the treatment of their particular sexual dysfunction. Does this make any sense to you?
It certainly does, and it's very exciting to make that connection that it's actually a simple mechanical chemical problem of getting the flow where it needs to be for the sexual arousal. And I love the idea that you're educating the public about this, but there's so much out there about drugs for cardiovascular problems that you're also making that other connection that it can be dietarily related, that the blood flow to the sexual organs can be changed dietarily. And I want to mention something that's in your book, a quote by John Dewey: "The very problem of mind and body suggests division. I do not know of anything so disastrously affected by the habit of division as this particular theme." And that's exactly what you started out with, that your biopsychology field is dedicated to bringing these two together. And this connecting the physiology of sex, of health to sex is such a breakthrough. And I know in your book you talk about how Freud kind of made it all into, well, it's in your head. And that's such a disaster because people turn that on themselves and they think they're inadequate instead of realizing they can go to the kitchen and do something different.
That's exactly correct. I would like to say at the outset, however, that I am not only not opposed to medication, prescription medications as we understand that.
Yes.
In fact, in my books, I tell people, do not go off medications that you were prescribed. I do not recommend alternative and ancillary nutritional treatments as an alternative, for instance, to beta blockers for someone who has a serious hypertension problem. Even though it is possible to lower your blood pressure with some nutritional aids, that's not an ethical way to go. People are under the supervision of physicians for a very important reason, and I don't have any problem with that. So the thrust of my education is to tell people what else they can do, not what they should do as an alternative to proper medical treatment. That's not where I'm coming from. And I think you can see that in my books pretty clearly also.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you do not want to make any changes from what your doctor is recommending, but there's more you can do just in your home and lifestyle.
That's
to
correct.
Support
and
whatever you need medically.
That those things are helping you, then you really should work with your doctor at titrating your medications to different levels. But that's something you do with your doctor, not something you do from my book or anybody else's book.
Exactly.
You know, would be appalling.
Yes, of course. Yes, you have recipes. You don't have any, and you're very clear that you're not recommending some kind of herbal or alternative high dose supplement. You're saying it's in the kitchen already. It's just some choices.
Although parenthetically, as I'm sure you're aware, I did develop a supplement, and I developed it as an extraction of the foods that we eat. So it's not something, you know, that comes out of some obscure mythological way of treating things. It is my supplement is a nutritional product. It's called Vasorect Ultra, by the way, and it's available in various places. But the point is that I did it after I wrote my book. The first book, which was The Arginine Solution, was intended to make people aware of the nutrition connection. I then developed this product for the public as an adjunct to the book, and then I wrote Great Food, Great Sex to explain how the nutrition plan would incorporate these concepts and the product into something that's useful for the public. Parenthetically, the Great Food, Great Sex is great in the sense of health. It's not a cookbook. In the sense of, you know, a culinary exercise in esoterica. The recipes were given me essentially by the National Institute of Health Program on cardiovascular health foods designed to promote cardiovascular health. So, the great part has to do with improving your health and improving your life.
Yes, that's great points because it's the recipes are they're delightful, but that's not the gist of the book. It's really
exactly.
to enlighten the reader about this connection and just awareness, increasing awareness of the power they have to improve their sex life through great food. So I really encourage people to get a hold of the book. And so why do you think sexual dysfunction seems to be on the rise? If we're getting past the Freudian hang-up idea, and what do you attribute that to?
To tell you the truth, I don't think it's on the rise. We have two concepts in epidemiology. One is prevalence, and the other one is incidence. You know, there are more people living today longer. And as a result, as they're getting older, there is an increasing likelihood that they will encounter sexual problems. So the more people are alive, the more of them are likely to be affected. So we have to differentiate between something being on the rise in terms of the fact that the prevalence is increasing. We now have 90% of men, whereas in 1812 we had 12% of men. That's not the case. I think that the proportion is probably not terribly different, but there are two things that bring it to our awareness. First of all, people have less of a reluctance. Certainly, in the 1990s even, men were reluctant to tell their physician that they had erectile problems. It's just something you didn't talk about. So the fact that they had erectile problems never came to the attention of a primary care physician. They might have come to the attention of a therapist that they might have sought to solve the problem. The statistics that we have don't come from therapy, they come from medicine. So a larger number of people are availing themselves of information that the public is now getting about the fact that these problems have a medical basis and they are approaching medicine with it. So I'm not convinced that there's a higher incidence, but indeed it would appear to be on the rise because more people are on the scene proclaiming these disasters in their life.
That makes a whole lot of sense, and that's a really important point. So human beings haven't changed that much. We're just a different demographic and different communication, more willing to talk about it and ask about it. So that makes a lot of sense.
And look for treatment, which is not
right.
A minor detail, because you have to be willing to reveal something about yourself to look for treatment.
Exactly. We're coming up on our first break, but I want to ask one more question before
sure.
then. As I mentioned in the introduction, that a fulfilling relationship between parents has a beneficial effect on the whole family. So what are your recommendations to keep the sparks flying, to keep the romance there?
Well, the first thing I think that people need to do is they need to reevaluate their expectations. When people have been together for a number of years, they are bonded, and the mystery of sex sort of dims. And there's really nothing basically wrong with that. Sex does not have to be sparkles all the time. It is a bonding phenomenon that brings people together because it makes them feel good. And I think that if they view it in that context, rather as firecrackers going off every time that they wander into the bedroom, they'll be doing themselves a real favor. Sex should be one of the things that the relationship consists of, but it's only one of the things that they share. Sharing and communication are the essence of a relationship, and there isn't really all that much difference between sharing in sex as there is in sharing in other things. And the thing that makes good relationships is the ability to communicate and share.
That's so well put. And we're up on our first break, Dr. Fried. We're speaking with Dr. Robert Fried, who's an expert in biophysiology and sharing about the connection between great food and great sex. And that's the title of his new book. So please stay with us.
Good deal.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. Any listeners can call in with questions for Dr. Fried at 866-472-5792. And I also encourage you to go to my website, randyrolfe.com, Randy with a Y, Rolfe with an E. There's lots of freebies there and lots of information, and it's a fun website. I've just enhanced it. So today we're speaking with Dr. Robert Fried, who's a professor emeritus of biopsychology and behavioral neuroscience at the University of New York, and has written a number of important books on cardiovascular health and the arginine solution, which he also applies in his newest book, The Great Food, Great Sex book. And I like the idea, Dr. Fried, that's mentioned in the introduction, that there's so much emphasis on cardiovascular health and losing weight, and to have a whole nother good reason to take a look at your diet is kind of exciting. So you've been sharing about how to bring mind and body together and get rid of that myth that it's all in your head if you're having some sexual dysfunction, either men or women. And so can we now talk about what are the causes of sexual dysfunction in men and women, and how do they differ, if they differ?
Well, they do. The problems for men who have sexual dysfunction, as I indicated to you earlier, in the vast majority of cases, is a physiological problem. And in order to do that, I would like to tell you just a little bit about the 1998 Nobel Prize Award in Physiology and Medicine to three American scientists who discovered that the key to blood flow in the human body is it's controlled by a gas that the body makes, which is called nitric oxide. And the gas is made by the lining of the blood vessels called the endothelium. It has a mechanism, it has an enzyme that takes the amino acid arginine in the body and cleaves off a portion of it, which is nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is a gas. And nobody, no one had a clue that there was a gas that controlled blood flow in the body. In fact, when they first suggested it, people said whoever it was that found that was out of his mind. Mm-hmm. So basically, what happens in the body is that arginine, which, by the way, is an amino acid, and it's found in many of the foods that are described in my books. Arginine is the stuff from which nitric oxide is made. And what nitric oxide does is it causes the blood vessels to relax. And when they relax, more blood flows through them. So the key to circulation of blood in the body is nitric oxide. It is true of everywhere in the body. But it is particularly true if one talk about men for a moment, it is particularly true of male genitals. When I taught for many, many years, I taught a class, a college-level class titled Human Sexuality. And when we came to the part where we talked about the physiology of male erection, I startled the class, as I may startle your listeners, by saying, the penis is not a muscle. Everybody said, what? You know, because that's the general concept. It isn't. What it is it's three blood vessels in something like a sausage casing. To put it, you know, in a way that you can imagine.
Right.
And what these blood vessels have to do in sexual arousal is they have to relax so that blood can flow into them and engorge them. This is true of the penis. It is true of the labia and the clitoris. It is true of the sex organs in people and most animals. So what happens to men? Why is it that they can't do that? And the answer is that there is a progressive atherosclerosis that most people are subjected to simply because they're alive and they're eating stuff. And what that atherosclerosis does is it damages the endothelium so that it can't produce nitric oxide in the quantities needed when they're sexually aroused. So what we try to do in nutrition is we try to provide additional arginine from which the body can make nitric oxide, because as you get older and the endothelium ages, it's got a problem anyway, and that problem gets worse with atherosclerosis, and the whole point of our diet is to try to reduce that. Now, the logic of all this is embedded in the concept of drugs like Viagra. What we are trying to do with nutrition is increase the amount of nitric oxide derived from L-arginine. What drugs like Viagra, Cialis, and so on do is they try to preserve the nitric oxide that is made in the face of an inadequate amount provided by the endothelium. So you see that we're really both on the same track. It's nothing very esoteric. We're working at the same physiological mechanism of providing that nitric oxide gas that allows the blood vessels to expand, permitting blood to flow into them during sexual arousal and performance.
That's
it's
great.
As simple and as complicated as that.
Yes, yes. It's
now,
wonderful
the foods
that, you
that
can
we're
explain
proposing
it.
Are foods that are high in arginine, which is a natural part of most proteins. You can take meat proteins, you can take vegetable proteins. We have a whole list in the book, tells you exactly what's in there. But the point is that the foods that we eat may be high in arginine, they may be low in arginine. And we recommend foods that are recommended, for instance, for similar endothelial problems with the heart. By the National Institute of Health, for instance, which had these heart trials. We use the same recipes, high in arginine, to promote nitric oxide release in the blood vessels, through nutrition. Now, there is another problem. Atherosclerosis is not simply a function of globs of fat in your blood. Atherosclerosis requires free radicals. Free radicals change immune system cells so that they can take these globules of fat and stick them into your artery walls. So it isn't enough to simply provide people with a diet that has arginine in it. We also have to provide them with an antioxidant diet so that whatever cholesterol they do have will not oxidize. So you see, it's a two-pronged approach to promoting healthy blood vessels.
Can you explain a little more about that oxidizing the fats, the cholesterols? Because often that's very confusing to people.
The body, almost every cell in your body makes antioxidants because in its wisdom, nature recognizes the danger of those things. What free radicals are is simply they are dangerous forms of oxygen that have been converted in some way that we really needn't go into. And these dangerous forms of oxygen are actually very toxic to the body. They are what we call free radicals. Actually, all radicals are free, but we call them free radicals.
Right.
And these free radicals are damaging to the body. And when they circulate in our blood, they change cholesterol in a way that makes it appear foreign to white blood cells, to macrophages. And so what they do, because it's their function to get rid of the body, to rid the body of all of the things that are dangerous that it can rid the body of, it grabs these molecules of fat that have been changed by these oxygen radicals, and it takes them out of the bloodstream, and it winds up depositing them in our blood vessel walls. You know, it's as if in order to get something out of the way, you stick it in the cellar. So metaphorically, that's
right.
What they're doing. They're taking them out of circulation. And they accumulate in the blood vessel walls. So cholesterol is not a problem if you don't have a heavy load of free radicals. You know, it goes in and it goes out. But if you have free radicals, that cholesterol becomes changed by the free radicals. It's what we call oxidized cholesterol. And that's when the macrophages grab it and take it out of the bloodstream and into your blood vessel walls. And that is the beginning of erectile dysfunction.
Very interesting. And I know in the book you go into even more detail with the physiology and also the chemistry of what's going on, but you've explained it in a nice, simple, understandable way. So what would be some of those nitrogen-rich foods that would have a high level of the arginine?
Cruciferous vegetables like kale, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and so on. These are very good foods for you. They are very high in antioxidants, and there are different kinds of antioxidants. I parenthetically do not recommend stacking antioxidants on top of antioxidants. I think that you should get your oxidants out of your nutrition and not out of supplements. The reason for that is that the body has a balancing system, and when it sees antioxidants coming in, it starts reducing the amount it's making. I would prefer to let the body make antioxidants from the foods that we take than supplementing them from some external source. So the cruciferous vegetables have two components to them. One is they contain nitrates. Vegetables are very high in nitrates, and nitrates are nitrogen compounds. And the body can make arginine out of nitrates as well, converts it to nitrite and so on. So that's one aspect of these things. The other aspect, of course, is that in the color that these vegetables have, there are compounds which are natural antioxidants that help the body as well. So foods like broccoli, kale, all of these different colored things, carrots parenthetically as well and so on, these all have nitrates from which the body can extract arginine. And they have antioxidants, which is sort of the draino for the blood vessels. So these are very important elements. Nuts, parenthetically, almonds, walnuts are very, very high in arginine. I consume about a cup of nuts every day. It's not a good way to lose weight, but it's a good way to be healthy. And so I favor arginine. Now, one of the things that I've discovered over the years is that many people have really a kind of, one has to guess at this because it's not entirely a science, but we believe that there is a certain element of arginine deficiency in the diet of many people. And that's why, after I wrote this book and this became clear, I thought it might be a good idea to design something that people could use. The Vasorect Ultra is something I designed that people could use to supplement the arginine if they have an arginine low diet. So the other thing is fruits, for instance. Again, the color, the dye in the fruits contains very, very good antioxidants. They are natural with the fruit, and they provide the body with the things that it needs to clear out the blood vessels.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And it seems like a really lovely way to improve your sex life, to have more colorful fruits, more colorful vegetables. And that's one of the things that, of course, the Department of Agriculture and other government agencies have said, you know, we're just not eating enough fruits and vegetables. So this is another good reason to do it.
But you see, this brings us back to the family concept of your program, because these are things that, you know, that partners do together. They can talk about this and they can say, you know, we can do this to help ourselves to feel better and make our response more reliable and more exciting. And so they work at this together instead of, you know, the man slinking off to a neurologist and the woman slinking off to a gynecologist to try to figure out how they're going to fix what they think is wrong.
That's a really important point.
So the idea of helping, you know, sexuality with diet also has that component of family participation. It's fun to do this. You know, we're going to enjoy working at this together and look at the prospects for enjoying sex as well.
That's really neat. And you mention in your book that you say the most important sex organ is your brain. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, the brain as this lump of thing that sits between your ears, but rather in terms of how you conceptualize what sexuality is in your life, what its role should be, how you will go about this, how you will communicate this to the person that you have sex with. These are not physiological concepts. These are emotional and ideational things, you know. This is what we would like to do. This is what we would like to try. No, I don't want this. Yes, I want that. So the whole thing really has to begin there. And you need to think in terms of the fact that there are going to be times in your life when everything is wonderful, and there are times in your life when it's not so wonderful. Things go up and things go down, parenthetically. So thinking about sex and thinking about the relationship in a lot of ways is the way to begin to make sure that it's good. It's not simply a question, you know, of taking an arginine supplement or Viagra. As a matter of fact, one of the problems that came up when a product like Viagra first came on the market is that there are many people who had a wonderful, stable relationship without sex. They were mostly older folks, and the sex had sort of disappeared from their life. The man had essentially lost the ability to erect at some point, and it didn't really make all that much difference. The woman was in menopause. It was painful for her to have intercourse anyway, so she was just as happy. Now, all of a sudden, you get Viagra, instant erection, and this can destabilize a relationship. No one thought about that.
No, that's a good point. And like you say, the couple needs to work on this together and
that's
understand
where the brain
each other.
Comes in.
Right. And you also have a cute thing. You say, you know, just change your plate, not your mate. You know, don't blame this on the other partner. Look at it together and see what you can do to just improve the physiology behind it.
One of the major problems that we encounter in therapy, for instance, is that when things don't go well in a relationship, people think that there is something wrong and they have to change it. The concept of working at something, you know, is entering less and less into people's expectations. We have sort of developed a general belief that, you know, everything really should be wonderful. It should be wonderful all the time. And if it isn't wonderful, we get rid of it and get something else. Well, this is how we get into serial relationships. And they don't necessarily improve. They're just different. So the ability of people to stick with something and work through it is something that's a very important aim of therapy. We found, for instance, that couples who are having disagreements and who are on the verge of splitting up, unless they're whacking each other with pots and pans, as long as there's no abuse, if we can keep them together for a certain amount of time to work at their problem, they will resolve them, and then they'll be happy that they did.
So, I want to talk more about this, Dr. Fried, but we're up on another break. So
okay.
Listeners, stay tuned. It goes so quickly when we have so much good information.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe, has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're speaking with Dr. Robert Fried, who's a well-recognized expert and educator in biopsychology and behavioral neuroscience. And he's written some important books on cardiovascular health. He lectures around the world on cardiovascular health. And he's also written a wonderful book, which we're talking about, Great Food, Great Sex, because there's a strong link between sexual function and the health of the heart and the cardiovascular system. And he shared with us that it's only been in the last 15 years that we actually understood what's going on with erectile dysfunction and lack of engorgement for the woman. So he shared some great information, and we want to talk some more about the nutritional aspect of having a healthy sex life. And we were talking about how important it is for the couple to work on it together and realize that changes can be made right in the kitchen that will improve things in the bedroom. So what are your recommendations? We've talked about making sure that our diet is higher in arginine and the nitrogen-rich proteins and the colorful vegetables. You have some great recipes that are come out of the cardiovascular studies, as I understand it, but they also are great for sex. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I would like to address also, if I may, a problem that men have and that men and women have that affects a relationship as they age. You know, one of the things that happens as men age is at first they begin to experience a slight increase in testosterone, and then testosterone, as we understand it, declines. But there is an enzyme in the body which kicks in the mid-50s, and what it does is it takes the testosterone that the man is still making, and it converts it into a super form called dihydrotestosterone. And that form of testosterone, parenthetically, is what makes your hair fall out. But the fact of the matter is that men's testosterone levels functionally don't decrease all that much as they age until they're well into their 70s and 80s. But in menopause, women's estrogen levels begin to decrease, and when their estrogens begin to decrease, the testosterone that they make from the estrogen begins to decrease as well. So why am I telling you this? Because in point of fact, there's a distinction between performance and desire. Desire is driven by hormones. And the principal hormones that drive desire in both men and women is testosterone. So what happens in couples as they age is the man's testosterone isn't going down all that much, whereas the woman's is. So her physiological basis for her desire is decreasing. Furthermore, as the physiological basis for her desire is decreasing, the decreasing estrogen is also changing her ability to lubricate and engorge. So here we have a problem now, because as we're living longer, we have more men who are getting older with substantially similar testosterone levels, but women who find it increasingly more difficult to engage in what they consider sex. So when we talk about working together, they have to have the information that allows them to communicate ways in which they can enjoy sex in ways that are not too extensive for the woman or wind up in ways that are painful for her. This is very rarely very rarely communicated to most couples who are having sexual difficulties. And this is an important factor. It isn't simply a question of nutrition. Nutrition helps you in on the side of performance. If your blood vessels are functioning better, you will be able to perform better. But the desire is different for men and women, and it is not driven by the same mechanisms that drive performance. And these are things that people need to know, and that's what they need to work at. That's a very, very complex concept for most people, you know, to sit down at the dinner table and say, well, I'm 64, you know. So this is, you know, where information that I try to get to the public is important.
Yeah, that sounds very, very important because, like you said, there's the distinction between desire and performance, and people can easily confuse the two.
They do.
And also realize that that they'll, again, blame it on the person instead of their changing physiology.
You see, I get calls all the time from various media, print and, you know, electronic and so on, and they ask me to talk about foods that improve desire. And I tell them I don't want to do this. The reason for that is that these are myths. Foods do not increase desire. People would like to be able to eat something that increases their desire when they're bored. It isn't going to work. you know, this is basically what it boils down to. You know, I've been with the same partner for a certain number of years. We don't have wonderful communication. We're still together. It's okay. We love each other. I'm really not terribly turned down. What can I eat that'll change that? You know, I mean, I stay away from that. I can show anyone beyond the shadow of a doubt that with one or two exceptions, which are very esoterical, the foods that most people are recommended as desire-building foods, this is nonsense. It just simply doesn't work that way. However, they do improve performance, you see. And so what happens is that when I'm asked to discuss desire, and I say, well, you know, foods don't affect desire, they affect performance, right away they're not interested. Because what they think is that when there's poor performance, it is due to lack of desire, and that's not so. Now, I can prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt. If all of the men who were dysfunctional because they lacked desire, who would buy Viagra?
Exactly.
It's all one pill. See, the problem is they don't lack desire. They lack performance. And this is where we need to focus on what we can do to help them to improve their performance. They already have the desire.
Right, and you make clear in the book that aphrodisiacs, you know, you want your spouse to be more amorous, and it may well be physiological that they that about performance, it's going to hurt, or they don't think they can hold an erection.
That's right.
And we really need to talk about that and not just give them more chocolate.
That's right. By the way, chocolate is a great antioxidant.
Right,
I just thought I'd throw that in for good measure.
Yes, and it's exciting, all the new information and making this connection between the cardiovascular health and the sexual performance. And certainly that's part of what biopsychology is all about, of bringing the whole body back together again.
But I must confess to you, I would eat great globs of chocolate even if it had no cardiovascular benefit.
Yes, I think many people would agree with you. Yes. So I want to recommend that there's so much detail in your books and your book, Good Food, Great Sex, and Great Food, Great Sex. And your name is Robert Fried, F-R-I-E-D. And there's actually charts that tell exactly what's in different kinds of tomatoes, for instance.
Yes.
So you can really see if you're getting your protein, you're getting your arginine. And arginine being one of the amino acids, it's in all kinds of protein foods, but in different proportions. Is that right?
Yes, and if I may, I would like to point out again that it is the major component of the Vasorect Ultra product that I developed for people who may have a deficiency in arginine.
And how would they find out? You say in the book, you know, that...
Vasorectultra.com.
Okay. But how would they find out if they're deficient?
There's no way to do that. They have to look at their diet. I mean, there's no way to do it scientifically. They have to look at their diet, compare it to the diet in the book.
So the amounts, so basically it's harmless to try it.
Well, it's harmless unless you have herpes. But we point that out. If anyone who is suffering from herpes should be on a low arginine diet, that's a caveat.
That's interesting.
But there, you know, if you have active herpes, you should stay away from all foods that are high in arginine.
Sure.
But short of that, this product is good for virtually everyone else, because there is no reason to assume that the typical American diet will provide you with all of the different things that you need.
Right. So you can just work to increase your arginine and your nitrogen and your antioxidants and see how much you need.
That's right.
By your performance, basically.
Basically. if you have a low arginine diet, and if you increase either dietary or supplementary arginine, unless there's something really terribly wrong, you should begin to see an increase in the first sign of the restoration of your blood vessels in men. Parenthetically, it will be nocturnal erection. Because nocturnal erection is a very good indication that the blood vessels work. So for men, when they see a restoration of nocturnal erection, they know they're on the right track. Women have nocturnal clitoral erection also, but it very rarely comes to their attention. Very rarely. So we do have ways of knowing if we were deficient and whether we're making up the deficiency.
Okay, now Viagra, you know, claims that you have an immediate erection. What kind of time frame would somebody notice if they started increasing their beans and their colorful veggies and fruits? How long would it take them, working with the body, and I love that, working with the body's way of balancing, when might they expect to perhaps get more nocturnal erection or
weeks.
Be able to hold it?
We're talking
weeks.
About weeks. You know, unless you're taking a toxic food, you do not notice what it does for you. If you do it regularly, it takes a couple of weeks. If you are on a diet, for instance, to reduce weight, you don't lose weight immediately. Your body metabolism adjusts to the lower calories, and it takes a while before it kicks in. So every nutritional approach, short of one that is toxic, will take several weeks for you to determine that you're on the right track. So you need to be patient with this. The only thing that I can tell you is that the difference between enriching your life with arginine and enriching your life with a product like Viagra, for instance, by the way, there's nothing wrong with Viagra. It works fine, and a lot of people use it, and they're very happy with it, and I have no comment about that. But what it will not do is reduce your body level of cholesterol. Of atherosclerosis. If you are on an adequate arginine diet, in the long run, it will actually slow down atherosclerosis. This has been proven. There's a patent out there, and there are countless publications that support this. So the difference between the pill approach is that you will have immediate effects, whereas if you increase arginine intake, it will take a couple of weeks. But if you stay with it, you will actually be gathering cardiovascular benefits from it.
So you have only good side effects, no 4-hour erections.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that there are men out there who wish that, but it's not a wonderful thing. It can be very painful and distressing. But that doesn't happen all that often. There's nothing wrong with Viagra. I would never say to somebody, you shouldn't do it. There's no reason. It solves a particular problem, but so does arginine. It solves two problems instead of one, but it takes a little longer to do it.
So the dysfunction can actually be like a symptom of the cardiovascular system needing some more arginine.
That is exactly what the American Medical Association now says. It says that erectile dysfunction in men is, quote, a harbinger of heart disease, end quote. Mm. Any man who begins to experience erectile dysfunction should tell his physician, because medicine now recognizes that the first sign of potential cardiovascular catastrophe is the beginnings of erectile dysfunction. It is diagnostic of heart disease.
That's really interesting. And we're coming up on the end of the show, Dr. Fried, and I'd like to ask you to tell our listeners where they can get the book, Great Food, Great Sex, and the your other book, The Arginine Solution, to the first guide to America's new cardio-enhancing supplement. Are these available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble?
Yes, Great Food, Great Sex, and The Arginine Solution are available on Amazon, and Vasorect Ultra is available at vasorectultra.com.
Great. And read the book together with your loved one. And
yes, while you're chomping on broccoli.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on Family First, Dr. Fried, and good luck with your book. It's very important.
You're very thank you very much, and my best wishes for health to your listeners.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye now.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.